Blog Talk Radio.
Feels
everyone. Welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Wednesday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight we have a special guest, David Winans the second, and he comes from Mom and Pop Winans, and he is the oldest of 10 children, and he's from Detroit. It seems like everyone that comes out of Detroit is... God just has his hands on Detroit because they are a blessed people, very talented people. So while we're waiting for Dwinans to join us, I just want y'all to know that not only is he a singer, he's a bass guitarist, he's an actor, he's won 10 Detroit Music Awards for Outstanding Songwriter and for Outstanding Instrumental and Outstanding Performance. So, you know, we're really, really looking forward to this. He's most recently he had 3 Detroit Music Awards for the song Will You Bring Me There Again. And the acting that he did is for Mad Men and Living Nightmares. So we're really and truly looking forward to that. So while we're waiting for him, we're going to play this and we'll be right back with you.
Will be my claim to fame. A girl with no name. That way I won't have to feel the pain. Indispensable. Just a plain old human being. Today don't mean a thing. In a world that's so mean. A world that seems nice for me. If you know what I mean, I won't even have to be here on the scene. It's so ridiculous, but the strife and the bliss go right on through me to have missed all the things that hurt you so. No one would ever know, they'd never know. Just don't seem to be as free as they claim freedom to be.
Freedom.
Things are going fast. To have found it all in the past. To have to take what you can get. Sure can make a heart of the best. Inconspicuous. A little fame, fortune, and wealth. It's so ridiculous, but the strife and the bliss will go right on through me to have missed. All the world seems not for me, so privately I'll be invisible. That way I won't have to explain a thing, if you know what I mean. Be here on the scene. So ridiculous, but the strife and the bliss go right on through me to have been all the things that hurt you so. No one would ever know,
Okay. Y'all, we're still waiting for Mr. Winans to call in. I know that when I did talk to him earlier, he was leaving from one appointment to come to do the show, so we're going to allow him some time. Okay, so I'm going to play another song while we're waiting.
With my soul, I had nowhere to turn, I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream, thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through, I had no hope to hold on to. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down, and I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength, survived my darkest hour. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. Didn't know my own strength. Oh. Found hope in my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh, I thought I'd never find my way. But I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. Oh, I didn't know my own strength. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up. I hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Was not built to break. No, no. I got to know my own strength.
Okay, this song that I'm going to play now, this is one of Mr. Winans' songs. It's Detroit Rest Day. I hope y'all enjoy this.
What's happening, Dave? What's going on?
Nothing, man. It's great to be here at this event. You and all these other great bass players. It's an honor to be here, Mr. Jacobson. That's what's going on.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go up and do Dancing in the Street.
Yep.
Okay, that was a live performance that he did for Detroit. Really honored to interview him. It's, you know, it's really exciting, and especially when you think of that this is Pop Wine and Son, and, you know, BB and CC. I mean, this is just a talented family. Very, very talented. And, you know, we're just truly honored to have him with us. So we'll afford him the time that he needs to, you know, after just coming off from singing and everything himself. I believe he had choir rehearsal. So while we're waiting, let's do this one real quick.
To be invisible will be my claim to fame. A girl with no name, that way I won't have to feel the pain. Indispensable, just a plain old human being. Today don't mean a thing in a world that's so mean. A world that seems not for me. If you know what I mean, I won't even have to be here on the scene. It's so ridiculous, but the strife and the bliss go right on through me to have missed all the things that hurt you so. No one would ever know, they'd never know. Just don't seem to be as free as they claim freedom to be.
Freedom.
Things are going fast. To have found it all in the past. To have to take what you can get. Sure can make a heart of the best. Inconspicuous.
Well, everyone, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce you all to David Winans II. And David Winans is the oldest of the Winans family. His parents, as I've told y'all, is Pop Winans and Mom Winans, Dolores, David and Dolores Winans. And they are from the blessed city of Detroit, Michigan, that God truly got his hands on. And David Winans is an instrumentalist, the first as a bassist for the Winaneers, version of the Winans as a gospel quartet before they became the Testimonial Singers. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr.
Hello.
Winans. Hello, how are you?
How are you? I'm good, and yourself?
I'm well, thank you. It's so good of you to be with us.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Thank God.
Yes. Yes, we are truly, truly honored. And, well, first, I want everyone to know that you come from a large family of 10 children.
Yeah, I think that could be considered large.
Pardon me?
I said, yes, I think that could be considered large.
Yes, I told you, especially I come from, you know, my parents, you know, it was three of us and I have three. So, you know, to me that's large, but my mother came from a very large family. More than you,
gotcha.
More than you, more than y'all.
I believe you.
Yes.
So how are you?
I'm well, thank you. And it's good to know that you're well, and I want to thank you for your prayers and everything while I was in the hospital. Truly, truly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now, I have to ask you now, you come from a family full of prayers and worshiping and singing and everything, so I know that you know about prayer, and you know about God. And yes. So, yeah, it's kind of foolish to ask you how did you get started, but I'm still going to ask you how did you get started.
How did I get started with what?
With all right. Now, first, you started out with gospel music. How did you switch from gospel to rock and roll?
Well, I was a guitarist, and I used to work at a venue in Detroit called Cobo Hall. So whenever concerts came through, I got to watch, if I didn't have to work that day, I got to watch groups. So being a guitarist, you know, you can only do so much in blues and quartet music. So rock kind of expanded my vocabulary, musically speaking, in the world of guitar.
Yeah.
Some jazz, some people went jazz. I went to the rock side. But all those influences are all from gospel, so it really didn't matter in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I know when my son was younger, a teenager, and, you know, when they first started, you know, moving away from traditional gospel, and they had did the rap gospel. And I remember playing it one day because I, you know, didn't allow them to play that rap music in the house. So I had bought him, you know, a CD of, you know, the rap gospel. And he, you know, he told me, he said, Mom, that's just not right. That, you know, he said, uh-uh. You know, he said, he didn't like that at all. So that's what I'm really curious. I'm sorry.
I said, yeah, you have to get used to that, the rap and gospel thing. It seems contradictory, but hey, all music is music.
Yes, yes, it is. Now, was it hard for your parents to accept you going to, aside from traditional?
Well, yeah, exactly. It did bother them at one point, but the development of the Wine and Sound was part of that guitar that I played, which was not common. And when they were testimonial singers and into the Winans, wasn't common in gospel music. And so that branched out. And then also Marvin's writing was going towards more, I would say more towards R&B jazz sort of mixture. And that enhanced the Winan sound also. So, and then you hear all the groups today, like, Donnie McClurkin, but not Donnie, I would say like Ty Tribbett and Martha Minuzzi, that hard as guitar is in. Yeah. So, I mean, Clark Sisters did it too. So the evolution of music is always evolving, no matter what genre.
Yeah, that is so, so true. As, you know, it's very different. It's very, very different.
But it's still
enjoyable, but it's different.
Yes, ma'am. Correct. And that'll be forever. Everything's going to be different.
Things are continuously changing.
Yep.
They most definitely are.
Be ready for it.
Now, I'm trying. I am still trying. I mean, I think that's just something that we all go through in our walk, you know, is that you're just changing. You know, change is not always easy. Sometimes it's comfortable to be right where you are.
Yep, that's
which
true.
Which is not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But
you're right.
Yeah, but
you're right.
It's easy being comfortable in what you know.
What were you listening to before you started? What were you listening to tonight before you started the show?
Well, we listened to your playing the Detroit Jazz Day, where you played Dancing in the Street.
Oh, from Bass Day.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, Bass Day. I'm so sorry.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow, you found
yes.
that, huh?
Yes, I did.
That's
yes,
pretty
I
good
did.
Answer.
I believe that's the one that was written by Nikki Stevenson.
Yes, ma'am. For Martha Reeves.
Well,
you know a little bit about Motown. You mentioned Nikki Stevenson. You know a little bit about Motown. You mentioned Nikki Stevenson.
Yes, he was. Yes, that was Kim Weston's ex-husband.
Oh, right. Oh, that's Kim's
yeah.
on this show. Is Kim on this show?
And no, she's not here this evening. I wasn't able to get in touch with her.
Oh,
I left
okay.
her messages because normally, you know, I can get her. I don't know what's going on today. I pray that she's well.
Yeah, me too. Wow, Kim Weston.
Yeah.
That's a voice for you.
Yeah. Oh, doesn't she have a beautiful voice?
Yes,
and she's
she
still performing. And when she can,
yes,
she's still. Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. So what else are we talking about tonight, young lady?
Okay, well, now you're also an actor. So you have to tell us, how did you get into acting?
That's funny. Well, I lived in Los Angeles for some time. And I used to work with I had a job out of college doing motion picture camera modifications. And I used to do special jobs for a gentleman named Haskell Wexler. And
mm-hmm.
Haskell Wexler was a photographer who did Coming Home, the IMAX version of the Rolling Stones live concert in Monterey, and other numerous things. He's won Grammys and Oscars for the Thomas Crown Affair with Steve McQueen. Dunaway, stuff like that. So being there, I also had some acting classes. My acting coach, Bill Mathers, was in a movie called Heaven Can't Wait with Warren Beatty. And
oh, yes,
thing
I remember that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice movie. Warren
yes,
Beatty and
it
I think
was.
It was,
I know Warren Beatty was in it.
Yeah, and Jesus, I can't remember her name. Lover. Diane Cannon.
Oh, yes. Yes, it. You're right. Yes.
So, yeah, that's how that happened. I did a couple of movies that really, I think they were shelved, to tell you the truth. One was with Joan Jett in The Runaways and Peter Noonan from Herman's Hermits. That was called The Harder They Fall. And I don't think that made it out on a release. There was a lot of films that were made that weren't released. They later on, corporations buy them and went to VCR or VHS tape.
Yeah.
They still do that. But now
yeah,
you
I love the VHS.
Yeah. So, that and I scored a couple of documentaries. I did one called Actor Martyr for Lou Sawecki, who was the director for that, and I recently did one for Silk Cozart from White Men Can't Jump called Inherit the Land.
Oh, okay. We'll have to look for that.
Yes. Please do. Please do.
Yeah.
Other than
like
that, I have my band Pi, which is on hiatus right now, and our last CD called Psalms, and that's available on all the digital platforms.
Oh, okay. I'll have to get that as well.
David Winans Pi. That's the name of that. Pi is the name of my band.
Oh,
yes, I do P-I. Have to get that.
Yeah,
yes,
P-I.
Ma'am.
Yeah, I just want to make sure everyone knows how it's spelled so that.
Yes, I hate for you to go get a piece of cherry pie and it's a long pie.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Now, a lot of your family are. Well, I mean, everyone in your family is just gifted. I don't know what they do in Detroit, but y'all are just some gifted people in Detroit.
It's Detroit River water, Lake Michigan, all the lakes.
Yeah, well, it has to be the old water. Can't be this new water.
Yes, the old water. Yeah, still have
before they poison it and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or they bottle it, selling it. So.
Yeah. Which Nestle is, has, you know, has the rights of the water in Detroit. Well, not mm-hmm. Detroit, but you
so
know,
from
the Great Lakes.
How do you know George and Jesus? I can't. What's the roses?
Oh, Denise, George and Denise.
Oh yes, Denise. I wanted to call her Dolores. It's Denise. I'm glad I didn't call her Dolores. So, how did you meet the George?
I've known Denise for, oh my goodness, I want to say maybe a little bit over 10 years.
Oh, that's good.
Before
nice,
she got
good,
married.
Good,
pardon me?
Oh, okay. I said good people.
Yes.
Denise and George.
Yes. Denise is, I don't know her husband. You know, I know Denise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
cool.
But time now.
That's good. That's good. So that's how we connected.
Yes, was through Denise.
Yes.
Yes, and she told me she's listening tonight.
Oh, that's good. Hi, Denise. Shout out to you and George.
Yes. And we do have someone that, well, they have a question for you, a question or a comment, if you're ready to take a caller.
I'm ready to take a call, sure. Yes.
Okay. Area code 706.
Good evening, Sister Antoinette, and good
evening
to...
Hello, Brother Tommy.
Yes, and I'm hoping you're well, and good evening to my brother Weinman.
How are you?
Very grateful, and I'm very grateful in the sense to hear, you know, a family that has produced a genre of music that spans decades. And what we're looking at is how do we help the generations that are coming with what you grew up with and being able to have that family connection and that skill set. Like you said, you went and you got behind the camera. You got on the mic. These ones that now have the technology to produce a new music to be able to give their generation, as our generations got from Motown and from blues and jazz, they got a message. And how do you see being the generation now coming to produce constructive instead of destructive films, music, the arts? And
well,
this is very important because I'm 72. So I'm looking at the Wi-Fi crack addicts of today that have been taken over. Yeah, and they have the information highway, but they don't have the wisdom of walking the highway.
I gotcha. That's a great question, Kwame. How do we do that? How do we perpetuate? The basic fundamentals are discipline. And discipline has to be carried over in all walks. School, learning your craft, learning the instrumentation you have to work with, learning these computers you have. It takes time. And if you have a steadfast routine or regimen, put yourself in. And like when I was younger, I'm older now, but I used to like go to bed practicing my guitar. And we went to, you know, go to bed singing, getting our harmonies. So discipline is mandatory in honing your craft. You have to put the time in. There's no ifs, ands about it. Even though you have machines now that can facilitate and do things quicker than we had to do rudimentary. But still, discipline is required. And to perpetuate the message, you have to like be able to hand it down. You have to like adhere to your teachers. You can't be talking back to your teachers or, you know, ignoring them because you feel like you know everything. And that's what I think the new generation feels. They think they know everything because everything's right at a beck and call. It's like we used to have to go out and look and search for stuff to put together to make the right amplification we needed, like a Marshall head, a 5-inch bottom speaker or a 10-inch speaker or a 12-inch speaker, and then the little pedals and cords and to get your own different sound. We had to go work and put those things together, like going to the library. You find a book, you have to find the right decimal system to find the book you needed. But right now you can go out and buy an amp that sounds like anything you want to, just turn the knob. We didn't have that, so we had to work. So that's my advice for perpetuating genius or being on top of your game. Ta-da.
Yes, and also having a praying father.
Yes, pray. Oh, yes. Well, prayer answers everything. Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Praying father, mother, other grandparents, the church, of it takes a village to raise a child. So we had a bunch of villagers.
But, okay, and I thank you for that. And it's important, discipline. And the thing that I'm seeing is there's so much now at just the fingertips of the information highway. We have the World Wide Web. You can talk to anyone around the world.
Yeah,
but
in a second.
But what we've disconnected from is the first internet, is the World Wide Web, nature. And nature's frequencies
that
and sound.
I like what you did there, Kwame. The nature.
You're welcome. And the thing is that we have created what's called nature deficit disorder. By we have been urbanized and taken away from, and urban means you are banned from the natural frequencies of the earth. And what we're seeing is that there isn't a discipline, because you have such technology that you don't have to, all you have to do is put, like you said, push the button and you're there. But it's the experience. You know, I'm here in Maryland now, and I've been on the road almost a month now, and I do ceremonies and I bring people. We've just initiated some women, and they've been able to go back into their community and from healing from the things that goes on, the environment and the traumas that go on in an environment. That's why we were able to sing the blues. That's why the jazz men could grab that instrument and play life, because they had lived it. And being able to write and being able to speak from the heart, and because they were connected to the earth, and the earth in that one word is the word heart, is the word hear, is the word ear, is the word tear. And these are the things that people were able to put into notes and sing from their heart that which life had showed them. Now there's not that too much of, there are those few that still are connected. But these are the challenges I see for the generations, because we do the work here of indigenous, say that everything you say and everything you do should be done for 7 generations.
Correct.
We're
you are
looking for the moment.
What you did with the heart thing, with all the words that were incorporated in heart, that was cool too. Where you get this gentleman?
Yeah, and what we're doing is wordsmithing. But the part that we're having to understand is that how do we help? Because I said my age, but I went through Jim Crow, the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're looking at algorithms and the Jim Code. They've just moved it from paper to technology.
To digital, yes. Computer.
They digitalize their agenda.
And everybody's falling prey to it.
Oh, no, we're not, because you're on here, I'm on here, and Antoinette is the motherboard that keeps us speaking truth, and I thank her for this. Even in her hospital bed, she was doing the show, because she knows the importance of communication. Communication is highly important. How do we keep communicating truth? Because we're getting a lot of half-truth, and they always told me half-truth is a whole lie.
That's a good one, too. You're correct.
These are the ways in which I see and what I diligently put myself out here and continue to do is to make a change. If it's not, if I don't save but one, that's one that they don't have. That's one won't have to be, you know, wearing an orange jumpsuit.
That's right.
Correct. One soul at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for the knowledge you dropped. Oh, no, it's not mine. I know I don't know, so I'm here to know.
You still
dropped. All I say is, pardon me?
You still dropped it here. So thank you for that.
Yes.
Brother Cromley is our scholar.
And I thank Tanette for, and I was here, and it was one of Miss Kim Weston's students that came all the way from Detroit, Maryland, to be in this ceremony and to complete her. And she spoke to Miss Kim, and it was a heart to, the heart that spoke to when they talked, because this young lady grew up as a teenager in Miss Kim's program that helped to mold her into the woman that was here. And so we see these ones that have made this journey and see what effect it has on that child's life. If you can just give them the seeds to help grow what's already their purpose that they come here for.
Right. I agree with that. Amen.
Yes.
And a woman. Because every man has a belly button, and we had to put the woman in there because you couldn't have a belly button if it wasn't for a woman.
That is so true. All righty.
Yes. I tell you, wow. Now, can you tell me, what was it like to receive your first music award?
Well, it was exhilarating. You talked about when they won their first Grammy?
Yes. I mean, well, you've won so many awards.
Well, yes. I've yet to achieve the Grammy purpose outside of playing on a couple of those albums. But I have my first Detroit Music Award. I won, I think in 12. For a song I had called Find the Water Being Christ. And it was my first changeover from physical albums to digital. So I submitted that song digitally on the commuter, and my daughter turned me on to what at that time it was MySpace, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was a new plateau for me, going digital. And I didn't expect it, and it happened, and I was very grateful that I was still relevant in that to music. Yes, so because my music is sort of like I said, has a rock edge and more of a rigmarole of contemporary classical and progressive rock type of musicality. I also play violin and viola. So a lot of classical influence are in my music.
Yes. We have another caller that would like to speak with you as well.
Sure. Okay, who would that be?
Okay, area code 732.
Good day to everyone. Hello. My question is, which music... What did it seem like the forces came against you the hardest? Was it the...
You want to tell them your name first? Excuse me, Amber. Want to tell them your name?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Antoinette. I'm Ishtar.
Ishtar? That's
yes.
Nice.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Which music, like, was it the spiritual music? Was it the rock or either the rap? that the forces came against you the hardest, like trying to stop it.
Oh, trying to stop what was being created?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question. What forces came in?
You know, I
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I know when I was in the church, praise and worship was one of the hardest things to get did in the church. I mean, the choir,
to get what
yes.
into the
church? It was
praise
like
and worship was what?
One of the hardest music, some of the hardest music to get did in the church. Okay, the choir.
What do you mean to be accepted by the church?
I guess perhaps it's being accepted too, but it's just like forces. There's so many forces that come against the different type of music.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't been around a whole lot of different music, but I know the forces used to come against the spiritual music the hardest. And I was just wondering, since you've seen more and everything, would you say it was the music in the church, or the music outside of the church, or it never came around you, or what?
Well, as Antoinette said, or I think Antoinette said it earlier, that there was like certain records she couldn't bring in the house or play at her home. You did say that, Antoinette,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well,
yes.
Same with mine. So we had a cousin, Beverly Glenn, who had the Beverly Glenn Concert Chorale. So choir, and I don't think we called it praise and worship at that time. We just had choirs and congregational songs. A
yes.
congregational song, the whole church would sing. So you had to know standards, which was maybe 100 spirituals or congregational songs. You just grew up knowing those songs.
Yes.
So all the outer influences came from you being out at school or in your classes of learning. And that's how I think the creativity of mixing all writing the styles of music that came out, you know.
Oh, okay. I guess it's like you're saying before, most of the songs the churches would sing, they would sing it all together. So it wasn't like in groups. Okay, so it wasn't any forces coming against any particular people with praise and worship or choirs or anything.
Correct. You wanted to sing, you joined the choir, but there were no praise and worship teams at that time.
No.
Otherwise, definitely you just had Clark Sisters, and we had us, and the commissioned, and everybody had their little groups then, but they weren't like praise and worship groups.
So, Alan, what was your music? Which one did you enjoy the most?
Well, I enjoyed anybody that had great harmony.
Oh, okay.
So I could go country western on that.
Mm-hmm.
We were all about the harmonies. And that's all. I mean, when you hear good harmony, you're just going to get up. I mean, barbershop quartets, gospel quartet, chorales, when you sing at school, you know, when you have a good music choir, madrigals, all that comes to play. James Cleveland.
Yes.
Could I, and good evening, Ishtar.
Good day. Kwame.
Evening here. It's okay. And what I'm feeling is that there's a history to our music, and we had to sing songs in order to deal with the drudgery of what we were living. And these became different arts, and that became the spirituals, that became the blues, that became, different parts of life experiences. And each generation has been able to, throughout relative obscurity, fulfill its mission in being able to harmonize and to put together that what they feel life is for them at that moment. And so our story is one in which has been put into music and has, you know, jazz. We have given America its classical, which was jazz. We created that.
Yes.
And even the part of listening to the radio, and that was one way in which we communicated through. But even we had classical when it came to television. William Tell's Overture. Do you know what show that played that at the classical song? William Tell Overture was the Long Ranger's music.
The Long Ranger, yes, correct.
Yeah, and so we're looking at how we were given different medias of music, but we chose for each generation to create their own sound, because I say that the young people says hip-hop. It's the same thing in saying, is the word is saying, highly intelligent people to help other people. That's what they were singing. Their hip-hop is to help their generation deal with what they were dealing with. But then the industry came in and said, this is getting too powerful. You're waking up too many people. So they changed the hop to harm other people. And this is where the gangster rap and all of the others. And even when we sang in the civil rights movement, James Brown, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, Nina Simone, Mississippi, God Dang, you know, all of these venues that we listened to was a way in which to communicate life. And now we have machines and dub overs and voice changing, and, you know, it's a different genre in which that's being created. And so that's why I asked the question in the beginning. How do you see being able to help guide that which is coming forth from this generation? Like you said, your daughter took you from wax to digital.
Yeah.
And that was a change for you, because, you know, we looked at the wax, the vinyl being the way that was played by a diamond. Now we're using a laser. The vinyl was played by a diamond needle. The digital is made by a laser. Difference.
Yes, very, very different. Yeah, and who knows what the next step will be? Only God knows.
Yes.
I know. Yes. Go ahead, Antoinette. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead. You're all right. Go ahead.
Okay. I know someone said earlier how the younger people, they're so wise, but they really don't know how to use it. So one of the things we have got to do is, you know, and this is happening so much, mainly with families, a lot of the families are letting the children, the parents, and I don't even want to use the word parents, let's say the mother and father, because that word parent is bad to me. But anyway, the mothers and fathers are letting the children lead them. I don't know if it's because they can't chastise them anymore, but what it seems like now, a lot of the mothers, mainly the mothers now, are fearful of their own children. Go ahead. I couldn't hear you.
No, I said that's a shame, isn't it?
Yes. They're fearful of their own children. Ever since they stopped the and I know a lot of people, this may sound very cruel, but when the Bible says, what does it say? Spoil a child when you take
spoil the rod.
Yes.
And so it seemed like once they took that away, and the parents would actually, the mother, father, whoever, would actually go to jail, prison, you know, for using the rod, the children actually became over the mother and fathers.
Yeah.
So, the greatest sin of all is fear. So once fear sets in, it's like it's a lost generation. And even with the younger people, a lot of the younger people now Maybe with the younger people, it's not even fear. It's just that they're followers. But with the older people, I think it's fear set in. So if I don't do this, I won't have my job tomorrow. If I don't do this, such and such happen. So fear, I think the fear has set in with the older people. And with the younger people, it's like they have to follow their peers. So one of the things we all, as the people that are, I guess I can say, awake, what we have got to do, and it's not easy at all, because it seems like as soon when you're talking to people, younger, older, whatever, and they need directions, it seems like as soon as you feel like they're in that place where they're ready to go right, someone comes and they'll snatch them back again. So it's like, and one person can do it, but it's always better when people come together, even if it's two people come together and they say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It's better than one. Even like if one person falls in the ditch, they only need one other person to pull them up. But if they don't just that one person, you know, they'll stay in that ditch. So even when two people come together and start teaching, it helps, but we all have to be on the same accord. And if we're not on the same accord, it's hard to pull people up out of the ditch.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah.
What accord?
But would you say in being a chord, because in that one chord, in music, you put together the different chords, the bass,
the
treble, the different notes. So you're harmonizing. Music wouldn't sound if it was all on the same accord. So it's arranging how each chord fits in order to orchestrate the sound you want to create. And when you say spare the rod, spoil the child, but also the book says thy rod and thy staff comfort me. It's in the way that we use this.
Yes.
And the part for it is that how you raise a child, that child will grow into care for its parent. But if you don't raise that child, it won't care for you. And so it's the part, you are the first God, or if you want to look at it as saying this, for a baby, the mother and father, if the father is there, are the first semblance of caretaker for that child. And in that child getting nurtured and guidance, it's our charge, because we say it takes a village to raise a child. But it takes mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers. See, we have gotten away from grandmother's lap time.
Yes.
And we've given our children laptops.
Yes.
We've gotten away from grandmother's lap time, and we've given our children laptops. Because they can get, you were saying about wise. No, they have knowledge. They have an information highway. Wisdom is the experience of using the knowledge, and those are the challenges of technology. You give them so much information, but they don't have the processing capacity to get out and use it.
The coping skills, yeah.
And that's the discipline. Because you have to learn how to discipline. You can read about swimming. You can watch videos. But if you go jump off the pier in the ocean, you will drown because you didn't go from the beach to the deep. You went from the deep to go to sleep.
Right.
You didn't learn that water will win the battle if you fight it.
Yeah, that's good, Clabby.
What'd you say, the water win the battle if you fight it?
Yes. Well, if you go out there and start trying to fight water, you're gonna drown.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can't win.
No way. So you have to learn how to discipline yourself and forge ahead.
Right. Because if you keep air in your body and you relax, your body will float.
Yeah, the body.
If you go out there thinking that you're going to go out there and fight your way through the world, it's bigger than all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But yeah. It's still according on the brain set at the time. Like I said before, I was 15. I couldn't swim. My brother was drowning. I had no thought but to save him. I went and got my brother out of 20 feet of water, and I brought him back to dry land. So it's all according to the mind thought. Then I lost my sneaker in the water. I started to go get my sneaker, and something said, "Where do you think you're going? You can't swim." So,
yeah, that's when fear took over. I'm going to bring in. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Brother Eddie.
Greetings, Brother Whining.
Hello,
Sister
Eddie. How
Ishtar,
are you?
Brother Kwame.
Hey.
And Sister Antoinette, you're still sounding good, so I'm happy to hear that. I had to call in to let you know you're still sounding good because I was sitting back in the cut hoping that your voice don't start cracking this day because you still got another show tomorrow. But anyway, family, I'm loving all of this information. I just wanted to add in something very small that we're all talking about, that our children can't be what they don't see. If they don't see us being the example, they can't be it. They being everything else. They don't even know how to be themselves. So, again, it's the discipline. As Sister Ishtar says, she don't like parent. Parent is beautiful, but I love using the play on words that it's apparent that most parents don't know how to be parents today. That's what's apparent.
Correct.
See?
But it's
so it's not the parent because for me, even with the numbers, as y'all know, I love the first word of God out of all babies' mouth is mama. Same numbers, God. Mama. They know mama because mama teaches them about God. That's the first word that comes out of the baby's mouth of God is mama.
Mm-hmm.
Big mama. Come on, y'all. We talking about it. But that's the love that we really have to show. That's the actual code, as Brother Kwame used, from Jim Crow to Jim Cole. Well, we still have that code, family. And as the OJs put it beautifully in a song, we got the message in the music because the music brings back the memories
that
the ancestors are awakening. And that the lyrics of the word captures our people. So through song, we can teach them very easily. And this is why they have hijacked hip-hop, as Brother Kwame was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, that particular genre of music was for our children of this time called the digital age. This is why we're talking about laptops and mama's lap. Daddy's lap. Don't forget about daddy.
Right.
Daddy used to be in that rocking chair and granddaddy and put those children in the lap and, hey, get back and tell them those songs of the stories of old.
Tell them the stories
of the lost. We've lost, as Brother Kwame said, that personal contact that is needed even in being able to articulate and have a decent conversation. And respect. Most of our children can't even hold a conversation. And this darn phone is teaching them how to be more illiterate, not even using the right spelling in texting.
I know it. Gunning down America.
This is it. This cell phone is the new cell block. As Brother Kwame said, the internet is the new drug addiction. Because for me, as I always said, love our children, but again, it's the parents who don't know how to be parents that basically are the enablers because the children can't afford to buy nothing. It's the parents that buy and the parents that pay for the bill for the services being used.
Right.
And especially
my phone used to be attached to the wall, so
Yeah, mine was too. Yep, and then when you had to dial it before the touchstone, you had to dial it. You know, take your finger and actually turn it.
That just brings you back to this quick. The quick one here in dealing with the sale that was previously called lead. And again, what did they do? They got rid of all lead paint in your house. Reason being, now with the new technology during this time, everything can penetrate your house. The lead was like that lead box that protected Superman from kryptonite. It's just like the lead shields and partitions that any tech gets behind when you go take an x-ray. They leave you in the room and they go and get behind a protective lead shield to protect themselves. The lead in our house used to do that, family. Think about it. When they told us to get rid of all the lead paint, it was for a reason. It wasn't for our protection. It was for them to infiltrate and do what they're doing now. But that's another story.
One thing you said, brother Eddie, and dealing with lead, you know, lead protected against radiation and that part, but now that lead is coming through a barrel of a gun and taking away lives.
Yeah. And excuse me, y'all, but somebody have some background noise? Okay, I don't hear it now.
I'm indoors.
Okay.
I don't
hear it now.
Yeah. Right. But I see the importance of what's being shared because, like y'all both said, our phones were on the wall and our phones were able to, you know, be dialed by rotary. But the numbers that you dialed was in your head.
Yep.
Yeah.
It wasn't in your phone.
You had to use your brain.
Yes. And you don't have to use that anymore.
That's what the phone and that's what technology, as we're seeing, is doing to our children. It's actually dumbing them down because they're not learning how to process the main computer, which is their brain. They're using an artificial means called the computer and not their brain now to even use what it's built to do with numbers. Numbers lubricate the brain like motor oil lubricates an engine. And when we stop using numbers, the function of the brain gets weak. And that's why our children's brains are weak, because they've given all of this over to the cell phone, not their own minds, their own brains.
Yeah, and another thing with the children is that, as somebody said, it's usually the mother that's at home. These mothers today are working three jobs, so they're really not able to even raise their own children at all. They're not raising their children. Whatever the children are not getting from the teachers, they're getting from their peers, or either, as you say, the cell phone, the internet, or whatever. And the world seeks. And Brother Eddie, like, you're with the numbers. I try to get with the numbers like you do, too, but unfortunately I didn't get that far. But I'm like that with the words. And when you break that word parent up, that's why I said I don't use it anymore because of what it comes out to. So the mothers, it's a shame. It's just a shame, though. The mothers can't raise their children anymore if they want to feed them and put a roof over their head.
Mm-hmm. All by design, because as we said, once they implemented the law about you basically disciplining your child and talking about child abuse, everybody on this line know that when we got our butts spanked, that was child abuse. With the ironing cord, a switch, anything your mama could find, if you got out of line, you got chastised.
Yeah.
But now, once they implemented that, people who were scared, as you mentioned, fear does a lot. People, it stops you from being rational. But again, when that came out, and one of my sons out of my five children use that on me talking about what they gonna do. I'm like, pick up the phone now, because by the time they get here, your ass gonna be through. Excuse my French. Your ass gonna be through. And when I get out, I'm coming to look for you again. It ain't gonna stop, baby. So I'm letting you know up front. You know, get that nonsense out your head. You know, because they ain't feeding you. They ain't clothing you. Mm-hmm. I am. Your mother is. You know, that ain't happening here. You know, so again, discipline. You got to get your children straight from the beginning, out the jump, as they say, from the root. See,
from the root
we're talking about is what they're using on the net today. They got them all on the net, and we ain't got them rooted and grounded in nature, as Brother Kwame is saying. Going back to nature, because nature is coming back to us regardless if we are aware of it or not. This is why we're even talking about all of these things going back, getting the information from back in the day, letting the elders in old school basically inform, because that's the book that's actually missing, that's not in the pages of educational books today. It's the books of the elders. Go ahead, family.
Yes, well, my goodness.
This is a great
discussion. We have certainly drifted away from a lot of the teachings and everything that we were reared off of. You know, this generation is, you know, we're losing generations, and we have to really pull them back in. And for me, you know, it's through the scriptures, it's doing it that way, because that's what I was reared off of, and, you know, my parents. But, you know, now, of course, we have people that they don't believe. And so, Brother David, now, how do we, as Christians, as believers, how do we still be able to work with people without really
Rule number
pushing.
One, you know where you're from. You know your grounding.
Yes.
You know how you were brought up, and you have to stay true to the course. Otherwise, you're going to make a whole lot of adjustments for people that's not going to take your adjustments. You have
that
to stay
true.
And those who are wise will follow that path. So you can't help everybody, but you can be the beacon. And like the Pied Piper, they follow you, and you're leading them down the right path, they're in good hands. But you can't adjust for everyone, because you're going to have a whole lot of all different places. But
Yes, I mean, because when I first got saved, I mean, that was a long time ago, 1980. And then I remember even going different places, and, you know, and they would tell me, Antoinette, you're welcome to come, but leave your Bible at home.
But the Bible was in you, Antoinette.
Yeah, my Bible was my mouth, but, you know, because everything, I just constantly quoted the scriptures, and, you know, just, you know, it says this, it says that. And, you know, they're like, you can come, but leave that at home.
Well,
so I had to learn to make those adjustments. And sometimes I get concerned, am I over-adjusting? You know, because there's a lot of times I don't stand up to what I believe in. And because I don't want to cause, you know, any confusion or disorder, you know, I'll stay quiet about who I am.
Well, that's you. That's your discipline. You understand the parameters, you know. Break out in scripture of a board meeting. You can, but it makes no sense unless the Lord is moving that way.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of times, you know, it's just, I'm praying for people, you know, and they don't know I'm praying, but I'm praying for them.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Like, where you may never know people you have touched.
Yes, I certainly hope so. I mean, because that is, you know, truly what I want. Yeah, I mean, I know you know, not everyone you can witness to, that, you know, you just have to do things in a different way, you know, for different people, you know, and still try to stay true to yourself.
Well, God never changes, though, if you go.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Now,
go ahead.
Have you thought about preaching, or have you ever?
Oh, I leave that up to Marvin and Daniel.
Okay.
Mine is totally, as we all are. I think CeCe's doing a little preaching.
Yes, I mean, this is your ministry. Your ministry is in the music.
Hmm?
I said your ministry is in the music.
Yes. I can tell you the truth, I envy no pastor. So, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There you go. So I know I have to go over some songs. I have my church is having a anniversary starting tomorrow night.
Oh, wonderful.
So I have to get on some charts I have to finish for tomorrow night. So I'm going to have to leave the conversation. This was grand. Antoinette, I'd love to do this again.
Oh, well, you know, you're welcome. Anytime, just let me know when you want to come on, and we will be more than happy to have you with us. We truly enjoyed you.
So let me say goodnight to Ishtar.
Good night.
Kwame hung up. Ed?
No, Brother Kwame's here.
Okay, well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just for Brother Ed, call me five. Brother Five. I got five on it. So, yes,
you
sir.
You got five on it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Y'all stay blessed.
All right, and thank you again. And, you know, you have a mission, even though we sometimes tend to not know what Creator has when the sun rises and we rise. It's the present to the people.
You're correct. So true. So y'all stay blessed, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Well, thank you again for being with us.
My pleasure.
Thank
you.
You as well, fam. Peace.
Peace out.
Peace out. Oh, wow. Well, that was wonderful. I know he said he couldn't afford us a lot of time, but I'm grateful for the time that he did give us.
Yes.
Well, it's quality, not quantity.
Yes.
And we had a quality conversation. And, you know,
we
got what was in the message that was on his heart to share with us. And I thank each and every person that was here, because it's all in divine order. And what you do, as I said before, you're the motherboard. You're connecting us. And this is what needs to be done by even you doing your ministry and doing this show with Dry Bones. You're bringing forth those ones who speak truth.
Yes, well, thank you, Brother Kwame. Thank you very much for saying that. And truly appreciate that.
Are we getting off, or do I have time to ask a question?
Sure, you can ask a question. Go ahead.
I wanted to know what do you all think about them? They built up on the moon. Now they're ready to live up there.
Okay.
What do you think about
it? That sounds like a Brother Kwame question.
The question you asking is they've done this, not us. We still have to deal with life on Earth. So that's not my concern. Because if that's where they want to be, then let it be. But you have to look at, you spent billions of dollars to put that together, to put that into space, and you have people here on Earth that's living, you know, worse off than all of that money could have been used to put people into spaces that they could live in, not in
so
the street.
So that part of it, Kwame, is our concern, right?
Well, it's am I my brother's keeper? Yes. But
okay.
Where do you work to keep your brother and sister in their best interest, your best interest to help your brother and sister? If they are doing what they're doing, then that's them. They have to answer for that. What do you do as a person to help person that you see in the street that doesn't have a home, that's not built on the moon?
I do that, but I was concerned. No, I do that already. But I actually want to know about them building up there. I know what you're saying. Yes. Because
let me ask you this.
Okay.
How does that free you?
With them building up there?
Yeah, how does that free you? By them building on the moon?
Don't free me. Because if you look at the poison... Okay. When you finish, Kwame, you want me to wait? If you want to say something, you want me to wait?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Because, you know, I was driving a couple of weeks ago and looking at the clouds. I've never, ever seen clouds as big as these clouds are, right? Then I thought about all of this poison water. It used to, what was that, Michigan, Flint, Michigan, it used to be, right? This water is poisoned in so many states. So I was trying to figure out why in the world, how do those clouds get this big? And so I began to think, well, wait a minute. Building up there, you know they got to have water, right? Are they letting the clouds, just imagine how our bodies are when we have to release ourselves, right? How that bladder, if we don't release ourselves, just getting swelling up. So when I started to think, is this what's happening to the clouds? They're meaning not to let the clouds release that water so that water could go up there where they're building. Is it the same thing?
No. No.
Can I add to something right quick, family?
Yes.
Yes.
Question being, what do we think about them building whatever? Brother Kwame, you kind of took the thunder, but that's right on point. Why are we concerned about anything? See, because number one, when they mention anything, I'm suspect anyway. You know, because again, you're getting my energy to even contemplate something that will do nothing for me spiritually, nothing for my people, nothing that you're saying.
No, well, see, I didn't finish. I did not finish.
Yeah,
I was not finished.
I was just adding on when you said what would we do. At the bottom line, nothing, because at the end of the day, what in the heck could we do other than talk about it? See,
we could watch out
I
for our children.
About,
a lot of the missing children, where are they? Are they up there? Just like they started slavery here, all of these missing children for the last years, are they up there starting slavery too?
See, the thing is, it's too much happening right here. That we
this
need to
is
find
here
for
our children is missing.
Again, why are we thinking up there that the children, what about right here where we are? There's places that we don't even know about on earth. Go ahead, Brother Kwame.
Yeah, but the thing that we're saying we have in missing children, do we have places that do, are there places in the community that we have that we're watching our children? Do we have resources that our children can come to where we can have those that are caring for children to be able to take care of that village, to take care of those children? If we can keep eyes on, we could at least have those that wouldn't be missing. So we got to look at what are we doing that our children become missing? How are we allowing them to have that much freedom? When we had communities once upon a time, Big Mama sat in the window and you knew she was watching you because she had an eye on the children. And we don't have those communities at minimal to have those people that are concerned about the children. You have those children now are walking around with $1,000 phones and being ushered into somebody's prey by giving them that tool for somebody to prey upon that child. We got to look at how are we to prevent these things that we see happening is by preventing. How do we didn't once upon a time have missing children, because when a child became missing, everybody in the community.
See, we could keep talking about what we didn't have. We got to get to what's happening and stopping it.
No, I'm saying what we
had. Going back to what it was. We do have to go all the way back to get to where we should be. But we got to get started here and now.
It worked.
Yeah, yes, it did. It did work. Yes, it did. But we always go back to the past. I'm talking about I worked with DIFAS children, and this was all the way back in 2000. And I kept saying back then, where are our children going? I would go to the schools, and guess what? And at that time, the integration was real strong in certain neighborhoods. And I was like, but wait a minute. And I was asked, I'd be at the board meetings and everything else, and I was trying to find out where our children were. And so now we talking, what is this, what, 20 years ago? And so now it's coming to play. When I took my psychology classes, I was considered the thinker. And I know right now everybody says, well, she has no, there's no bond on that or anything. But this is how things start. Somebody put it out there, and then you start researching it. You don't just automatically tear it down and start laughing. You start researching what someone is saying, especially if it's something you haven't heard before. So now all I'm asking, and I know you're saying, well, we shouldn't be concerned about that. Wherever our children are, especially if they're taking in bondage or kidnapped, maybe we're not doing anything about – go ahead, Kwame, go ahead.
Okay, and what I'm going to share with you is because I'm saying in the doing, we did. I have a sister right now staying downstairs. We're in the school building that we teach in, and she is a mentor. She is doing fact check. She's having chats with the children that are been put out of their house because they're LGBTQ, whatever, and they're on the street, but she has a way in which she communicates and she directs them and keeps check on them, and that's what she's doing right now here, and being able to know that these children are going to places that are safe, they're communicating with each other, so that way we have an eye on those children using this technology. So these are things in which are being put in place because she went through the program, and now she's mentoring young children that are facing the streets, that are being put out by mothers that born them and putting them out in the streets because they're not what they thought they were supposed to be. This is what I'm saying, is that you do where you can. Yes, we're on the phone talking about it, but this is being done right now. Just below me, she's down there chatting on the phone, on the Texas with these children, letting them know that this is where they need to go and facilities that are available for them. That's what we need to be doing, and being able to keep an eye on the children. We're sitting here sharing what we're sharing and concerned about what's being put on. Artemis, that's what it is. The Artemis is put on the moon. If you look up, go and look up the goddess Artemis, and you'll see what their plan is. The thing that we're looking at, take care of home first, then go outside of home. But you're sharing
home to,
but the moon
home
is
the
not
moon.
Our home.
Huh?
It's not our home. We don't
What's
live
not
on
our
the
home?
Moon.
But
the moon
our children,
is not our home.
Let me tell you. Wherever our children, say like, okay, maybe a female's point of view
your
is different.
Question, what was your question, Ishtar?
I was
going to
say,
about them being
wherever,
on the moon?
wherever, if our children are going to the moon, that is our, that should be our concern. Maybe we, maybe the moon, you're saying, is not a concern, but if our children are there, that's our concern. Why are they there?
How do you know they're there, Zeke?
Just like I said, everything I see.
How do you
or
know?
Either, I'm getting ready to tell you, everything I see and everything I read doesn't mean it's a fact. When things come to me in other ways, that, okay, that no, usually that nobody else would agree with, those things are the things that end up turning out to be. And so I'm saying from the bottom of my soul, where are all of these children? Like I said, I've been trying to find out where these children are now, not soulfully for the whole 20 years, but I go back to then and coming through to the last few years. And so now it's like, where are all these children at?
I've had those same thoughts as well. So I understand what you're saying. So I want to say not only could, and I think that they probably do, have taken some of these children and placed them on the moon and, you know, wherever else that they feel that they can place them and use them at. And then also remember, there's sex trafficking these children all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world, yes.
Okay. But what I'm sharing is that, yes, all of this is happening, but how are we corralling and getting the ones that are still in our sight? How do we keep them in our sight so they don't become a part of that missing? That's what we're saying. We got to create the spaces and places for them to be in safe places. That's what we need to start beginning to do. Yes, those are missing. Yes, that is a concern. But what do we do about the ones that are right in front of us?
And this is another thing may sound hard, and how in the world do we do it? Just like I said about the cryptocurrency, give me the gold. Let them keep the cryptocurrency. Even right now, this is my landline. If we could get these freaking cell phones away from our children, but then guess what? They need the computers for schools. But then what do you do? Take them out of the schools, you know? But then who? Really, most of the time today, what mother or father would take the children out of the public schools? And Kwame,
what
I know you would say.
What did they do for COVID?
Yes, they sure did. But guess what? That wasn't them doing it. It wasn't the mother and father doing it. It was the people, the government, closing the schools down. But these, and guess what? Most parents, because just like I said, the fear of their children, was so glad when they opened the schools back up so they could go. So what is it we do to try to, and I know it sounds like, well, she must be nuts, think she's going to take a cell phone from a child? But that's one. Oh, it doesn't, good. But that's one of the ways we can get back. That's probably, I'm not going to say the only way. That's one of the bigger ways we can get back to them and get back to their brains ourselves instead of giving them that cell phone, the brain from the cell phone. You know, instead of, like someone was saying, we don't remember telephone numbers anymore. We're dependent on the cells, brain cells of the cell phones. And so go ahead.
I'm speaking to an example. There are two young Walia and the two daughters of the person that owns this land. Both of her daughter just graduated Val Victoria. She's now working a job and going to college. Her 15-year-old is working at mom's and being homeschooled ever since the COVID. But these two young ladies are being guided because their mother said, no, I am not putting them into this system.
Yes.
So she chose to do this. That's where it has to be. We have to begin to teach the mothers. This is what this whole program that we do, 9-month program, is teaching women how to begin to take control of their life and their children's lives. Because we have gotten into a system that is not about your benefiting. It is not for us to benefit, so we have to begin to prepare. And where she did it, she bought 5 acres of land, and she began to build this school that from a barn to a school. And she built this school to where she could begin to teach world women and children, and to begin. Then she opened up a herbal store to where she could begin to give people naturopathic medicines to begin to help healing. So it can be done. It's the people that's doing it that we have to look at and say, okay, this is a space where you can come. I just left Texas. A sister down there has, well, she sold 40. She has 40 acres and has built a retreat house on solar that brings in the community that look like us to bring them onto that land and begin to teach them and different ways of growing. I'm leaving here and going to Tuskegee, where it's called Nature's Garden, and the sister there is teaching agriculture and how to grow your own food to the students there at Tuskegee that she retired from, plus the community children that she brings in on the weekend, that they have their own garden growing the stuff that they put the seeds in the earth and see it grow and harvest it. That's how we do it. Anybody there?
Yeah, I'm still here anyway. But that is how it should be done. And I know you say one is doing it here, one is doing it there. It would be so great, like I said, if people would start coming to one accord. But it seems like the people that want to do things is the ones they take through so much.
And that's what we decided. We decided to say we're not waiting on anyone. We just do.
Yes.
Do
yes.
where you can mm-hmm. and stop saying what's going, what everybody's doing, and look at what I'm doing to do what I see I need, what I can do. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Am I my sister's keeper? Yes. Are those children my children? Yes.
Yes.
Do what we can where we can. Don't start keep. We losing too much, like Brother Eddie said. That's too much energy wasted talking about them folks and what they do. What are we doing?
Well,
see,
that's the thing. Is that fear talking when we say we wasting time? You know, I never paid politicians any attention until 2016 or whatever. It was a little before that. And then I begin to see, I thought to myself, I said, oh, my goodness. I've never paid these people any attention. I would say, hey, I'm not concerned with that. And now look where we are from not paying it any attention. Is that our business? Yes, it is our business. Because guess what? If we don't start paying attention, we keep saying, oh, well, we shouldn't be concerned about that. And we're here, and we have no say-so about anything. And that's because we
okay.
keep saying it's none of our business. But it is.
Okay. But what I'm sharing with you right now, I started with them in 2015, 7 years ago. I've watched this place grow, and in the 7 years went coming from a land that they bought and turned this into a school, then to open up a business and to do this. Not looking at power. This is in Washington, D.C. This is right outside of Washington, D.C., the capital. I got off the train seeing people sleeping out in front of the train station. You could see the Capitol building, homeless people sleeping out in front of the Capitol of the
yeah.
United States.
That's right.
So it's the part of you do where you can, because if we could keep being distracted, we're not going to correct what needs to be corrected.
It's not
we
a
We
have
to stop talking and doing.
Exactly. Exactly. But because I'm saying where are our children going, they're a part of us. It's not a distraction. That's something we all should be concerned about. You know, and as far as saying that's them and this is us, they rule us. And we're not going to be concerned about being ruled, how we're being ruled, where our children are going, because we can't rule nothing. You know, someone may do this and someone is doing that. Go ahead.
And then I'm sharing. We're on this phone talking right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished the ceremonies and did the things that all that that's happening outside of here, because it's a disconnect. I'm not being distracted or interdetained by the entertainment system. Yes, there are political things that's going on. We have people that we entrust to say that they're going to work with towards this.
Yes.
Okay, that's their thing, but what are
so
we
no
doing?
So no one should say it's wrong because someone is doing something they're not doing. It doesn't mean it's wrong, and anyone should tell anyone, well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. There's different walks of life. There's different walks of life for different people in life.
And that's true. And the thing is that do where you can where you are. Do where you can where you are.
With what you got. Just
that's
add
it.
That to it. With what
yeah.
you got.
Yes.
Yeah. And
the key, one of the keys to all of it, basically, again, I'm with what you're saying, Sister Ishtar, but like you said, when people hear you say certain things, they might think you're crazy. This, no, you're not crazy. You're on the frequency that you feel, but in what you were giving, just like you said. With me, it's that if they're on the moon, if they're
well, no, they announced
on
they're
moon,
on the moon. That's
but,
a fact. They're living
again,
up there.
Again, like I said, for me,
mm-hmm.
on the moon, I'm not there. If it's anybody up there, our children, if it ain't shit I can do, excuse my French, it ain't not. So as Kwame's saying,
see, that's how you feel,
can,
but you can't tell me to feel like
that's
this.
What,
thing.
I'm not saying, but did I say you don't feel, that's why I said no. This is me. Just like you said, everybody has a different path, a different walk.
That's right.
What you just said to me, it's not resonating with me. I'm not discounting what you said like I said. But for you, you're on that path. Great. If it's something I can do to help you, I will. But my job is right here where I am with all of those who are around me. My circle and the circles that encircle and outside that circle that I touch. No more, no less. I ain't trying to do no more than I can do. Raising issues and points that I might feel that, yeah, people need to be aware of this. If I'm feeling this, that's great. But again, just like I know a lot of people can't get what I'm saying, dealing with numbers or dealing with what I say by the word. Some people do. Those who do, take what I've given that's useful. You see, that's the key. If we're not giving useful information, what are we doing? We're running around giving all of this if, ands, and buts. My information, my assignment is to give useful information that after we get off the lines, damn it, I can use what Eddie said.
Well, see, you may not
because
be able to use what I said, but that doesn't mean someone else can't use it.
No, I didn't say that. I said, that's why I said, everybody ain't going to get it. Some people do, some people don't.
Yes,
some
yes.
people can apply what I say right away. Some people will never get it. That's not my concern. Who don't get it, because my concern, I'm vibrating with those who do. It's just like we all, you give information over the lines that it might be one damn word that comes out your mouth that's for me. Everything else you said was not pertinent for me. You gave me that one, and that's all I needed. Kwame gave me something else. Sister Antoinette gave me something else. Brother Dave Wyans gave me something else. That's all I'm looking for. That one word for me is enough. It's sufficient. And I use that in my information for the next person I'm touching. For me, that's, like I said, I'm not looking for the big, enough, because, again, what I got is enough. If anybody could be in my mind and see numbers and words everything that I see, images, just turn into numbers right away. I don't think they can handle it, but it's not for them. It's for me. I love it. I ask for it. So that's just like we all, and I'm learning this, we all have that innate gift within to give, and a lot of us just don't recognize it because we're all over the place with the media, with propaganda, with the news, with the links, with the damn internet. All of this are distractions to me because all of it has a number to me that gives me that spiritual guidance. And it has not let me down thus far. And everybody I talk to echoes my sentiment without knowing the number, by the word. And by me seeing the word that they're echoing lets me know I'm right on time. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Because I've been saying it for the longest. We saying the same thing, family, not knowing the damn number, any damn word we use. That's what's got us so confused. And for me, that's part of the spell. Once we break that, we break part of all this shit that we back and forth and we can't see, because that's the key. You can't be what you don't see. And what I'm trying to reveal, we don't see the damn numbers behind the words, none of them. So how can you be what I'm trying to? So all I got, all my thing, I have to be the example. That's it. That's why I'm so passionate, and I talk about this because it's all balancing us out. We're getting activated, but we're still kind of over the place because we haven't found our particular part.
Our particular what?
Part. Everybody's got a part. Your part is your journey. That's your gift. That's your way, your angle. But if we don't know all of that is the same damn number as nature, as Aquarius, as sister, as goddess, as auntie, I can go on and on by the numbers that relate nature to what we're supposed to be doing that we're rooted in. It's all the number seven, baby. It's all part. Seven is part of your journey. We're supposed to help. Help is seven. Once we understand our divine part, we're not looking at that far. We're talking about banking gold, and the gold is the word. Because the gold that we run around here talking about getting, you can't take with you. If we're talking spiritual, but we're on the physical and material plane that we're constantly pushing. My assignment is spiritual. I'm listening and hearing and looking for all of the spiritual numbers behind every darn word that everybody says to me. That's my job now. That's my joy. It ain't a job. It's joy. See, so everybody sends me, half of the stuff I tell people I don't look at, because if you don't send me a description, because that's your link to me. That's how we still getting dissociated. You want to send me a link with everybody else's shit. I want to see your words in the text. That's our link. Communication, at least. Don't just send me an empty-ass statement text and expect me to take my time, my learning, to look at it. And you aren't really in touch with me because I ask all my family, if you send me something, please send me a small description. 5-6 words of what I'm looking at. If you want me to spend my, but we don't see, that's just basic respect. To me, it shows me a lot of us just ain't ready. If we can't follow little things, like I said, the brother said discipline, and that hit a nerve, not only by the number, but the word. We know what discipline means, and we're not disciplined at all. In our own particular realms, like you say, can't nobody shake you up, because, again, at the end of the day, if what I don't say don't make sense, because even by the number five, baby, if it don't make sense, it ain't coming out my mouth. It's not coming out. I'm writing this shit down over and over again before even speak it. Part of the incantations, baby, write it down. And we don't. A thought comes and the thought means write it down. So it makes real sense to you, so that when you bring it home, this is home right now, baby. Family, this is home. Y'all the circle. It's called a circle of life. That's home. I ain't going to bring it home if it ain't right.
Well, one thing people have got to really have got to learn how to do is stop tearing down something just because they hear it the first time. You know, we are here, we should be building one another. Not when somebody says something, oh, well, this doesn't sound right. Not even knowing whether it's right or not. Oh, well, it just doesn't sound right. Never heard of this before. And the first thing people do is they start coming against it. And that's the first thing our people have got to learn is to stop trying to tear one another down, mainly the females. It seems like what people like to do is with a female, oh, just tear it down. Just tear it down. And that's what I've been getting. And I'm not just saying this. You know? I don't think anyone has ever said anything on any this call or any other call. And I'll listen. I'm not even going to say whether it sounds right or wrong because I'm not the one can say what anyone says is right or wrong. I think about what they said and everything, and then I just push it away if I can't get anything from it. But I'm not going to tear anyone down. We can't do that to one another. You know, this thing called love, right? L-O-V-E, all capitals, you could say. I know. This lady, we both went to church pretty heavy at the time. I'm a minister, she's a minister. Past these people that was on the street, high, I don't know, call them drug addicts or whatever people want to call them. Now, that was her lifestyle at one time. Oh, well, why don't these people get themselves together, such and such and such? I said, well, Nancy, look, things don't happen for people all at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she went on to tear these people down. So then I'm sitting here, I'm defending them. I never drank, I never did a drug in my life to even know the feeling from it. The feeling I ever went through was when my body died and I was moving so fast. That was better than, I think, any drug or any type of drink you could get, right? So now she's tearing the people down that did the same thing that was doing the same thing she was doing. So then I'm defending and just defending. And then I begin to think, not putting myself on no pedestal or whatever, but when love is there, love don't tear down. Love is going to constantly try to build up. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because you're using the word love, and I'm wordsmith, and with love, it says life's only valuable equivalent. Only thing as valuable as life is love, and that's what we have to understand. If the sun rises, which it will do in the morning, in the new day, it will rise, and it's going to shine on everything. If the creator of that sun can shine it down on this planet with everybody that has done what they've done under this sun, who are me to judge anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Because if the creator of all life can shine light down upon this creation called Earth and allow us to rise with it, then I cannot go against what the creator's light and love is doing. And that's the part that people we have to become willing to allow. If the Creator allows that light and love to shine on everything, who am I to make judgment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not. I don't care what anybody says or what they do. If I can't help you out of it, I'm not going to be around the person. You know, I'm not going to criticize or condemn them. And before I'm going to give it a good try before I even start staying away from the person. And wait a minute, let me even say this. Because of their situation, if that person isn't trying to hurt me, I'm going to still be around that person. You know, and to me, this is what love is about, you know. And this is the, and I said this before a few times on this call and other calls, this is the only way we're coming up out of this mess we're in. And say love doesn't just mean, okay, these people I'm around, my children and everything. Of course we love them. But we have to love our neighbor. I'm not saying love somebody and they're trying to beat you down. No, no. But what I'm saying is no one is doing anything to you and trying to cause you any harm or anything if you're going to be around that person. That's why I don't be around a lot of people. But if whoever I'm around, there's going to be love. If that person comes to me and I have something, they're getting part of it if that's going to help them. So this is what I'm saying. To me, this is love. So when I'm shown things or whatever and nobody else understands it, like I say, I'm going all the way back to 20 years ago when this stuff first started happening with a lot of the Dyfus children or just children in these schools that I would go to. And I was like, well, dog, where are our children at? Now it's like a puzzle and it's starting to come together. So then I feel like I could open up with all of my family here, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, where are these children? Where's all these children at?
Yeah, and that's still a very good question. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, you know, and like Brother Kwame says, you know, also, we have to stop them from disappearing.
Yes.
You know, we have to work on that. You know, where
yes.
We need to, you know, we need the connections in the communities where we're all working together to protect these children. You know what I mean? Because at one time, you know, anybody's parent can say anything to anyone's child, you know, because they were doing it to protect them. Now you say something to someone's child and, you know, it's almost like you got to fight the parent.
Yes. Mhm.
You know, and you know,
Antoinette,
I mean, so
your,
it's so
your
much.
Voice is just...
Pardon me.
You okay? No, I'm asking.
Yeah.
You okay? Because your voice is yeah. You getting tired?
Yeah. All maybe right. We better go ahead and get off, Antoinette. You know, and you get your rest.
Well,
we
yes,
want to talk, but you got to get your rest. So I'm gonna call it a night.
Well, I want to thank y'all for being with me, and you know, and definitely you know, for David Winans II for being with us. I truly enjoyed him being with us, and I look forward to when he'll be with us again. Tomorrow night,
Joe Brown
will be with me. Yes. And Sunday, don't forget Dry Bones at 10 a.m. for the Helios, and Brother Ray at 3 o'clock for the drum call. And Brother Eddie,
right.
If you want to give your contact information.
Yeah, I can be reached at eharris12764@gmail.com. Family, I'm going to say good night and thank all of you all as normal. And Brother Kwame, I want to give a special shout out to you because, again, for you to call before our class Wednesday to let us know that you wasn't able to attend the class, you know, again,
yes.
That just shows me the love that you have to even take that time out before you went into your ceremony, you know. I appreciate that, my brother. Just wanted to let you know.
Yes.
I appreciate love us all, so I thank us.
Yes. Well,
and
I
love
you
shout out to
us,
everybody.
Thanks,
oh,
thank you. Peace out.
Have a good one. Peace and love.
So have a good night, everyone. Thank you for being with us. Good night.
Yes, yes.